Bloomington Police Chief Dan Donath surprises the city by announcing his retirement after less than a year on the job.
I squeezed out a great 1 year where a number of things have happened and support Dan's position.
That's City Manager Tim Gleason. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, August 7th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Bloomington Police Chief Dan Donath announcing his retirement. Eric Stock reports the news came less than a year after Donath took over the department that he served for 26 years.
City Manager Tim Gleason says Donath's announcement took him by surprise.
He expected 3 to 5 years, but no regrets. I squeezed out a great 1 year where a number of things have happened and support Dan's position.
Gleason credited Donath for his efforts to improve officer wellness by having officers trained to better handle the mental and emotional toll the job can take.
Pre-COVID, it was tough enough, but now amidst COVID and, other challenges in policing, taking care of those men and women is a priority. And Dan definitely has left a lasting change in that department.
Gleason tabbed Donath as police chief last August. He replaced Clay Wheeler, another BPD veteran who retired after less than a year as chief. Gleason says he believes the department is well equipped to handle another transition.
While not ideal and not what we planned for, they could probably absorb this a little bit better than a number of other departments out there.
Gleason added he likely won't begin the search for a new chief until early 2021. He says that'll allow time for more stability in the department and possibly lead to a better pool of candidates. Gleason named Assistant Chief Greg Scott interim police chief effective September 1st when Donath's retirement takes effect. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 15 new cases of the coronavirus reported yesterday in McLean County. Testing positivity rate held steady at 2%, and of the 100 active cases, only one person is hospitalized. The Leroy City Council is expected to consider an ordinance later this month that would require people to wear masks when in public or potentially face a fine. And nearly 3 years after criminal charges were filed, the lead defendant in the Coliseum fraud case, John Butler, will face a jury of his peers starting Monday. That trial is expected to last around 3 weeks. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Unit 5 and District 87 have both abandoned plans to offer some in-person instruction to start the fall. They're going remote only, at least through October. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley tells Eric Stock the recent rise in COVID-19 cases locally and nationally casts too much doubt on whether they can bring students and teachers back to school safely.
I'm very confident that, we could have minimized that risk in the things that we were paying close attention to, like trying to get our classrooms as socially distanced as possible, the wearing of masks, doing a lot of disinfecting, really narrowing kids to be in a cohort that they didn't travel around much. So it really narrowed the number of people that they were around. In the end, we couldn't guarantee 6 feet of social distancing in all cases. I know that was a big concern for many of the parents out there. It was certainly a big concern for my staff. And I have staff members that have their own health issues in some cases that are compromised. They go home to families that might have a family member compromised, and the same is true of some of our students. So in the end, we felt the best decision for now was to start remotely. We're prepared for that. We think we can do it very well. It's not the same as being in the classroom, of course, but we feel that it is the best decision for our kids right now.
What was the feedback you were getting from parents when you had first planned to bring students back into the classroom? And was that an influence in your decision to abandon that?
Sure. Parents were obviously concerned in some cases, not all. There were some parents that were certainly anxious to get children back to school. And as you can imagine, People in the community have various opinions on the impact of this virus, so those opinions certainly varied among parents. But in the end, it really is more about what we can control and how we can go about minimizing risk. And so after a lot of discussion, and believe me, Eric, these were agonizing discussions that we've had as administrators, as an administrative team, not just over the course of the summer, but here in the last couple of days in particular. We've seen increases in cases here in the county, we've had discussions with our own local health department who've been great, great resources for us. And while we have a lot of mixed feelings because we really want kids back in school, it has been a very difficult, and I would tell you that it's been the most difficult decision of my career. I'd welcome a snow day decision every day of the week compared to this one to have to announce that we're going 100% remote to start the school year.
As we look back at March, it was like having a snow day for 2 months straight. You have a little more time to prepare for it now, but can the district do it substantially better than you had to do it in the spring when it was certainly rushed together given the circumstance?
Absolutely. I believe we can and we will. I think part of that is because the accountability factor has increased exponentially for students and staff. And in other words, when we had the spring, we really had to flip a switch. It was crisis mode, and the accountability piece was lacking. In other words, students, especially at the secondary level, had no consequence for grades when they didn't do assignments, didn't show up, because wherever they were at when we went into the stay-at-home order, they could go no lower. And that really, as you can imagine, really impacted the motivation for some students, and it really had an effect on their motivation to do work, to really try to learn more over the course of the few weeks that remained in the school year. That has gone away, and the accountability is now in place where they will be accountable for that. The rigor will be greater. There will be a structure to the day that will be better for kids and parents to follow. And so I do believe we can do it better.
And while we talked about parents being somewhat split on what should be done, I imagine the teachers had different views as well about how this should be handled. Where do the teachers stand on this mostly? I imagine most of them probably wanted to go virtual, at least from the start. And how much influence did teachers have in the planning and the change?
Well, as you can imagine, our staff members are not just teachers in schools and paraprofessionals and other employees. They are parents at home. They are mothers. They are fathers. They are caretakers at times of parents. There's a human factor to that. They certainly had concerns going into this for their own well-being, for the kids that were coming to them and their well-being. They are concerned for their family's well-being. So, yes, there were definitely concerns relayed on the part of staff, and that certainly weighs into our decision-making. They were a part of the process in terms of the task force and the subcommittees to really help us gather the information that ultimately led to our original plan of providing some in-person learning. So it's really disappointing for us to have to come to this decision, but I do feel that it is the right decision, and I think that by and large our staff supports that. Now, I haven't done any formal surveying of staff. There just isn't the time of that to do something like that in order to move forward and make this decision, because school is fast approaching.
That's District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley speaking with Eric Stock. Before we let you go, today is the end of summer term here at ISU, where WGLT is based. So a quick shout out to a few of our interns who are leaving us today. Christopher Stoynev, Andy Bernhardt, Channing Sparks, Joy Adams, thanks for all your hard work this summer. Much of it done remotely and powered by our friends at Zoom and Teams. Enjoy the freaking weekend. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.